This is Sean with Voices of SAE, and I'm speaking with Earl Wyatt. Earl, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Sean. Good to catch up with you again.
All right, so where are you right now?
Right now I live out in Gilbert, Arizona. So just outside of, it's up 30 miles from the airport, just outside of Phoenix.
Okay, and do you have a wife and kids?
Yes, I have a beautiful wife named Ashley, and I have two amazing daughters. I have Adeline, she's in sixth grade. 11 years old, and I have Emma, who's in 7th grade, and she's 13 years old, so I'm surrounded with women. I also have two Yorkie puppies that are both girls, so I've surrounded myself with women.
Well, I'm not going to make any comments about college, but I think you're always consistently trying to, you know, be a true gentleman for those girls, right?
Is that, Oh, for sure.
Is that pretty much it? All right, so we were in the fall of 93 together in Beta Lambda. And your brother already was in the house. He's how many years older is Bill?
So Bill's 2 years older than me, almost exactly.
Okay. And just for the people, where'd you guys grow up?
So Bill and I grew up in a little town called Roselawn, Indiana. So if you were heading towards Indianapolis out of Chicago, we were about 50 miles towards Indy. And it was a little town. I think we both had about 80-something seniors that graduated with us, so definitely a small town.
Now, isn't Roselawn, isn't there a kind of a commune thing up there?
Well, I think if anybody were to Google Roselawn, Indiana, I'll let them do it themselves, but you'll see there's a couple camps out there that people from Illinois used to love to come visit, and I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah,
right now, and anybody who listens to this is probably Googling what is Roselawn, Indiana known for. Not PG, let's put it that way.
All right, so when you grew up, when you were going to school, like what type of sports and community activities did you get involved with?
Well, growing up, Bill and I went to North Newton High School, and I think did all the sports, the classic sports that schools offer. So I played football up until my freshman year, then baseball, and then wrestling. I think him and I both really took to wrestling. And I think watching my brother excel tremendously and the one-on-one aspect of wrestling, just really I was drawn to it, the physicality of it. And, you know, you kind of go out there on your own, and you're either successful or you're not. And I think him and I both ended up doing that before there was a such thing as year-round club. We pretty much wrestled most of the year, going to tournaments in the summer, but it was definitely the sport of choice for both of us.
So as you,
I was just never as good as him, you know.
Well, that was my next question. As you got bigger, did you ever would it be a good battle back and forth that he'd win some, you'd win some, or was it always one more than the other?
No, never. As big as I've ever gotten, he would still just toss me around. So, you know.
All right.
We just concede that.
And so when you went to, obviously he was already at Ball State, but did you go there because of him being there, or was it because of the, you know, the physical, it's like the College of Physics, what was it called?
I think my brother mentioned this. Him and I did not take the traditional route to college. You know, we had great family, but our parents were more like, you guys are going to be the first ones to go to college. And we didn't quite understand how to get there or anything like that. So we kind of just figured it out. Him and I both took time off school to work and things like that. By the time I got to Ball State, I was 21 years old and had already, I went to Vincennes for a couple years and really fell in love with athletic training. But Ball State, I ended up at Ball State from going to visit my brother. And never in a million years, particularly when you're 21 years old, did I ever think I would want to rush a fraternity. Yeah, I just never even thought of it. Didn't cross my mind. And then when I got to Ball State, I was a little bit older, but I would go visit Bill. And, of course, Bernie Doyle was already in the house, and he's somebody that was in my high school. He graduated with Billy. But I met a lot of the guys he lived with. We got Hanshaw, Hare, Demo, and I would hang out with them guys on the weekends. But the guys I really connected with, even outside of that, was Palacir, Bell, Fido was in grad school then, and just Christian Horvath. Those are the guys who, even before I went to school there, I would show up, hang out with them, and just I really liked the bond they had. And so by the time I went to Ball State, I already knew that I was gonna rush the house.
And so that was, you know, honestly, when we went through. Now, as far as for our pledge trainers, it was Jeff Burhand and Chris Wohlmeister, you know, you being in a situation of like, okay, I got these guys that are around my age that are trying to keep me in line and, you know, educate me on all the facts of the fraternity. What was that like going through your head being older and having, you know, the whole pledgeship thing happen?
Well, I knew Kramer Zuski a little bit. I had met him a few times before going through Rush. But to your point, when I was going to Rush events, I was really hanging out with Horvath, Palacir, Bell. You know, so a lot of the guys, Ryan Yanovich, a lot of those guys had already known me from coming out and visiting. So Rush was different for me. I did what I had to do to get through. But I really still say to this day that the St. Louis boys were treated so much better than the rest of us. I can remember them. Even when we went to, was it Long John Silver or something like that for a pledge dinner? But they were courting those St. Louis boys so much, Sean, and they just kind of left me in the corner to myself because they knew I was probably already coming. You probably don't distinctly remember that, but I do.
No, because they were sportos, right?
Corey and Bodecker.
They were Zub, that's right. They were the volleyball kings or whatnot. When we went on walkout, do you remember where we went on walkout?
Yeah, was it Ohio?
Ohio University for Halloween. Is there anything?
Yeah, no, I remember what took place there?
Possibly. Is there anything you remember from that walkout?
Well, listen, it was just fun. The trip was fun. I think you planned it. It was perfect timing. It was a huge blowout on the campus. But I remember, more importantly, the time beforehand and trying to not get captured. Not that anything shady was going on, but trying to keep the Pledge Brothers together, going around for the first time and grabbing actives. And the best memory I have, we were in a van. It was Bodecker, Bell, I think Cooch may have been with us. But we knew Yanovich, we knew Ryan was going to be walking home from school. And Ryan's a very large man. So I remember, like, if we're going to kidnap Ryan, we got to do it in a place where it can't be physical. So we just pulled up. He was walking home. He had no idea. I'm like, hey, Ryan, you want to ride home? So here's this, you know, 6'4" guy. Looks around. He goes, yeah, sure. Jumps in the van with us. And as soon as the door closed, he looked around and saw us. He's like, oh, no. Because he was not somebody I wanted to be chasing across campus, let me tell you.
Yeah, so going down on the retreats, you remember like going down to like Brown County and stuff? Do you have to remember that?
Yeah, I do. That was another time where I think my leadership skills had to step up and go with Johnny Bell. We had to go into, I think, Bloomington to find a keg of beer. So I think our experience was a little bit different than everybody else's because we had run out of beer. And, of course, one good thing about being 21-year-old pledge is, you know, I could at least – not that I would ever give it to people underage, but I had access to to some spirits. So that was a little bit of a different night. I think Bell and I ended up staying around on campus and partying and didn't get back till about 3 in the morning.
Did you go with us when we went to go get the pig?
I did. Was that with who went with us on that trip? Kramer.
Yeah.
And Hernandez, I think, was with us.
Yeah, that was Was it homecoming or what? I can't remember what it was, but I know that when we got it back to the house, and I'd forgotten this, and people had told me this after college, that I was running around the house with the head of the pig during the party, like chasing people and it was just like it just disgusting. But what would be a cool story of like brother helping brother, or brother being there for brother, or, you know, kind of coming to each other's aids? Is there anything that really stands out?
So if I think about brothers being there for brothers, I think it goes to a different level when you talk about post graduation and getting out in real life. I don't believe I talked to any or have any friends or connections from high school or guys from my hometown. All of my friends that I've talked to this day all were Pledge Brothers or from the house. And when you go in at 21 years old and you can say that, I think it just goes to show what you go through together, the hard times and just, you know, sticking up for each other and getting through stuff. That connects. Those connections stay. And I can think of hundreds of things. A couple of things top of mind. Christian Horbath has helped me out a lot through some difficult times. Him and I were actually roommates in Chicago for about a year. Bo Decker, him and I, as you know, he's as close of a, you know, he's as close to me as my own brother. We are in each other's lives. He's the godfather to my youngest daughter, and all of those guys are around. I know I said my 50th birthday, if you could believe that. And my wife put a message out for people to send in just things they remember. And we had like 30 people send things in for my wife. Corey Miller, I still talk to a lot. A lot of these guys I still see. I see Danny a lot, you know, because he comes out to see Mike. And at Mike's triathlon, that's the time where you'll see about the group of guys that I hung out with most in college. And that includes Johnson and that crew.
So, you know, obviously they've gone on with life and you're living out there and you know, there's a lot of time in between, but what's some of your favorite moments, like back at the house or even road tripping in college with them, or just some funny things maybe that happened at the house that they might remember that you'd want to bring up?
So when I think about memorable times, I just have almost, it's like a bunch of events flash through my mind. The time when I was a pledge in, we did the big talent show and dressed up like bouncers, and Nick Hayward went on some air band finale, things early on. But I think the most enjoyable times were Saturdays, I think, before parties, tailgating at Ball State football before it was a thing with, Bodecker and Kusan and Milhouse, and, you know, take my little Chevy truck out there, park it with a little grill, and we'd hang out there all day. And I think we would go in and just root for the punter at the time because it was Brad Maynard. So we wouldn't even want the football team to get a first down because we wanted to see Maynard punt. But times after that, hanging out at Dill Street, and I think the best times I used to have was above the – when we had that apartment above the Chug with Bell and Brendan and Cooch. That was some really good times. We'd throw all-guy kegs there to where no – it was just the guys. Nobody else was allowed to come in. And those were some really fun times, just playing caps, getting ready to either go over to the house for a party. But those are all really good times. And it was just really being around each other. It was really not the events you were going to. It was more just spending time getting to know each other.
Well, who would be some of the other guys that you'd like to hear kind of them do some recap? I know Bodecker has already done his, but maybe who are some of the older guys that you met, like right when you got there, that you'd like to hear them kind of have their points of view and tell their stories?
Well, Yanovich, for one. If you could get Slav, that would be probably as impressive as getting me. I don't know if he's on social media because I am not. I think Bernie Doyle, I'd love to hear what he's up to. I know my brother stays connected to so many people. I don't know how he does it. So I get a lot of insight into how people are doing and what they're doing based on my brother's connections. But I think Slav, and I don't know if you've gotten a hold of Wolfie yet, but I think those are a couple guys that I'd love to hear from.
Okay. What would you say was the best thing that, besides the lifelong friendship, but the structure of how SAE was built, what do you think you really got out of it? How do you think SAE fraternity prepared you for life after school?
Well, if there's any advice I would give, first you have to compromise with people. I mean, you're always doing things. You have to be, whether you're in chapter voting on things, but you really have to compromise. You know, it's not your way or the highway, and I think that really translates into business. But I think the biggest lesson learned was one that I learned after I'd left. And when you look at Corey Miller, Brian Johnson, Tom Fedowitz, Milhouse, and after I was gone, Danny Bodecker, and even Mike, sports chairs, taking leadership roles in the house, something that I didn't do. I think I participated. I was always there to help out. But being a leader with a bunch of guys who enjoy the weekends and can get a little rowdy, and to be able to lead them and, you know, be the person that makes sure the bills are paid, make sure that we're working towards common goals, philanthropic goals, and running and, you know, getting in between conflicts in the house, that's what I look back. And anybody who gets into the house, I would recommend take the time to be a leader in some way, shape, or form. And, you know, those guys come top of mind, and they're all doing extremely well now in real life, whether, you know, they're operating on people's mouths or running companies or banks. Just that would be my advice to anybody coming into the house. Take advantage of it, even if it's uncomfortable. Put yourself in uncomfortable positions, and you'll be even a stronger person coming out of it.
That's awesome. All right, so what are you doing now?
Well, I'm in the pharmaceutical industry. I love it. I most recently just started a new position at Melinta Therapeutics. It's a company we sell IV antibiotics for carbapenem-resistant drugs, so very serious illnesses. And I got a chance to come here. It's a small company. You know, I started out at Pfizer Pharmacia. This company only has about 60 people, and it was an opportunity to build my own team out here in the West. And so I've been doing this for about 20-something years in the industry. And, you know, Bobby Chadwell, we've got some other speaking of reaching out to people from the house, recently I was interested in a position. I reached out to Couch, and I didn't really – my brother knew Couch very well. Guy called me back within a day. You know, here he hadn't really only talked to me maybe once when he was there, and I wasn't even a pledge yet. I was visiting. I'm in the industry. We got a lot of brothers in the industry. That's what I've been doing for, I think, 22 years now.
That's awesome. And you're going to Vegas with your new team next week? Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I mentioned all those guys, you know, that were leaders in the house. I think I'm going to kind of feel like that when you take a bunch of professionals to Vegas. I'll be the person trying to keep them out of trouble, and hopefully we all learn something while we're there. But, yeah, I have get my new team together. I just hired the last person. Actually, they started today, and I'll have all 9 of them in Las Vegas with me to start building the culture.
That's awesome. Well, is there anything else you'd like to say about SA in general, or give a shout out to anybody in particular?
No, just the young guys keep reaching out. You know, some of the older guys, like especially me, who's not attached to social media, find ways to get out and make it easy to donate. You know, I think this is a cool way to raise a little money for the house, but finding new and different ways to, you know, get small donations or whatever, more touch points. That's really it. And I'm just glad to see the house is still going strong, and you got young guys there who really care about it and want to keep it going.
Yeah, we're actually this week going to start basically a weekly email that'll highlight stuff to do on campus, active interviews, alumni interviews, and, you know, build to a point that we could actually access kind of a contact list and see what the alumni are doing now for business, so we can really business network more with each other too.
Yeah, even like segregating it by industry, to your point, would be great, because yes, there's times out, you know, I just built a whole team. I didn't know of any of the young SAE guys who would be looking anywhere in the country, right? And I think having that extra information, because I always look for it on resumes, but to have a direct link, you know, I think that'd be a great way to line up some really good people.
Yeah, that's kind of the 1-2 punch. You get to reminisce with some stories, a little money goes to the house, and we can, you know, show people that these guys are in these industries, and if you want a business connect with them, then, you know, we got a new way to do it. So I really appreciate your time, Earl. It was fun being, you know, a pledge with you and going through the house. I have a lot of fond memories of all those things that you have memories of too, because we were there together. But anyway, Phi Alpha, and just stay on the line, and I appreciate your time.
Hey man, Phi Alpha Sean, I appreciate it.
You got it.